Good morning. My name is Dean Suzuki, and I wanted to welcome you to this week's edition of MTC Studio. Today we'll be talking about deploying Office in your environment. We have a great new set of technologies called Office Pro Plus, Office 365 Pro Plus, and the Click to Run, and we'll be talking about that today. But before we jump into that, a couple of logistical items. If you have any questions throughout the webcast here, please feel free to enter them into the Q&A manager on the screen, and you can enter them in, and our team will be monitoring that Q&A manager. Also, if you want to maximize the video screen, you can go ahead and hit the big square box on the video stream to maximize that to full screen. So with that, I'm excited today to have a couple of our architects who specialize this from our Philadelphia MTC, Todd Furst and Tariq Hamid, and they'll be joining us remotely over our technology called Skype TX. So welcome, guys. I wanted to welcome Todd and Tariq to the show. Thanks.
Thanks, Dean. And again, I'm Todd Furst, technical architect here at the Philadelphia Microsoft Technology Center. And who's this gentleman next to me?
I'm another technical guy, Tariq Hamid. I'm a technical architect for Unified Communications. So Today we're going to host this broadcast for you.
Awesome.
So which is about the Pro Plus, the Office 365 Pro Plus.
All right, so I'm going to hand it off to Tariq to get this started. So why are we doing this, Tariq, even though I think Dean gave us a good
that
idea?
That is a good question. Why are we doing this? So I think there are plenty of reasons, but one of the major reasons is to make sure that you get the right installation bit. So if you are currently on MSI and you already own the Office 365 some sort of license, then you better get on the Office Pro Plus.
And the reason why you're saying that is because did we have some customers deploy the wrong installation? They own Pro Plus and they deployed MSI?
Correct.
That's not good.
That's not good at
all. All right, so we'll talk about a little bit more about that as we go through, but You as the IT pro can be the hero here. So we'll talk about how you can do that.
Absolutely. All right, so next is, what is Office 365 Pro Plus? So look at the snapshot here. Basically, you're getting everything what you know already. It's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Skype for Business, Outlook, and OneDrive for Business. You have the choice of 32-bit, or you can go to Advanced and get the 64-bit. But this is a snapshot from the portal, so which means you can stream the Office Pro Plus directly from there, but we will show you another way of getting the software installed on your local PCs.
All right,
so in nutshell, basically, these are the three major bullet points that we come up with just to make sure that you get the value of Office 365 Pro Plus. So it enables user-based subscription. So you're gonna get out of the device-based subscription like the way you used to do with MSI, and now you have the user subscription. So 5 PCs or Macs plus 5 Android tablets and the Android phones, 5 Android phones. So logically speaking, you have 15 devices.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of them. So another benefit of this is staying up to date all the time. You don't need to worry about to get the new release and wait, test it out in your environment and make sure your plugins are working. We'll do the work for you, and we'll make sure all the latest bits and latest software updates are available to you. So the third one is, you're going to see, and we're going to demonstrate that, new method of deployment, which basically ensuring that all the compatibility is there for the new release. Your plugins are working, your dependent applications are working. And also a new way of dealing with the side-by-side transition. So basically, you can keep the current environment up to date, and then you install the Pro Plus. You can run side-by-side, and the next slides we'll talk about that more.
So just to recap, if you have a BYOD program, people bringing in multiple devices, have multiple devices, this is the way to go, right?
Absolutely.
Pro Plus. Okay,
absolutely.
Awesome.
So this slide actually will talk about the side-by-side. So in the snapshot, you'll see 2 Excel, 2010 and 2013. You've never seen that before, I bet. So this is the magic here. So you can run the existing version and let the user use that in case if they're issue with some sort of plugin or some issue with the new Pro Plus Excel or any other application, then you can ask them to use the existing version, which is working already for them. And this gives you an opportunity to go and fix the plugins. We're not recommending as a permanent solution. It's just a transition. During the transition phase, that's what we recommend. So what are we talking about here? We are talking about all the side-by-side benefits of with the older version. We give you the information about the installation, 5 PCs, Macs, tablets, smartphones. The other thing you can get out of it is, let me make a check mark here. Well, we do that.
There you go.
Okay. So we'll give you the personalized settings as well. So basically, that setting will roam between your devices of your choice. So whatever your personal device is on the PC, when you go to the next one, it'll follow you. And you have the similar ribbon and the choices of your buttons and everything. So automated software distribution. This is exactly the way you're doing your business, as business as usual. Nothing has changed. You're going to use the your config manager or any other third-party distribution software solution, and you're going to push the deployment to your users. But it's, again, you're getting the bits from the Pro Plus, from the Office 365 portal.
That's right.
So same thing with the updates. You're going to manage your updates. They will go and update in the background, and whatever time and date you select, they will get implemented. Without any destructive interface on the user side. The group policy and telemetry support is always there as well. One of the important takeaway from this slide is making sure you understand that this deployment is available offline, meaning you can use it on your PCs, and also online. So you can be on the portal anytime, anywhere, and log into your portal and use all the web apps, all the Office web apps, whether it's Excel, Word, mm-hmm. doesn't matter which application you want to use it. So both availability, online and offline.
Okay.
All right, so what's similar and different from what you know? This is an interesting slide here.
This is good at comparing what people know in the blue.
So major takeaway is that Click to Run is a streaming installation. It's user-based subscription, whereas MSI was more device-based subscription. You have to purchase device per device licenses. And then you need to sanitize the load, and then you'll push it to the user. Whereas this one is, we already give you the bits, the latest bits in software. All the updates are there. And you can download the software in your environment, sanitize it, and push it through the software distribution software. All right, so and the retail activation is there. So what's in the middle is what is common between the two sides. So again, Windows 7 or newer version of operating system. And app-to-app integration is available. Telemetry is there. Group policy support, as usual. Automated deployment, again, is there.
So everything in the middle works the same way. So
exactly.
Office really feels, it's really some things around how we get it deployed, and then you get all these multiple devices.
Absolutely.
This is the big piece.
Absolutely.
So, and we'll dig into that.
Absolutely.
We'll keep going.
So next is, Todd is going to talk about object model and API. What does that mean?
Yeah, so we've all lived through previous Office deployments. Okay. It's all been a lot of fun. But it slows us down when if Microsoft released Office 2007 and released mm-hmm. Office 2010 and the plugin changed between those two, you can't deploy. You got to wait till the plugin providers basically make it all work.
Okay.
So what we did, which we've never done before, is with Office 365 Pro Plus, they locked the plugin model. So they called the object model, the API model. So mm-hmm. if it runs on 2010, it should run on Office 365 Pro Plus. You got to test it. And see if it works. But that's why we added the side-by-side support. Because
mm-hmm.
what's nice about that is you can have 2010 loaded, let's say, mm-hmm. bring in 365 Pro Plus, it automatically sees the plugins, people can test right away.
Okay.
If something's wrong, you just pull off Pro Plus, and then we'll figure out how to fix it. So that's really what we're talking about with the what's changed, huge change for deployment, mm-hmm. people running deployments that we've never had before. And as a result, customers are deploying faster than they ever have, and they're getting the benefits that they never had before.
Okay.
The last thing I'll just mention around telemetry, you mentioned
yeah.
a few times,
yeah.
is you can deploy the telemetry today. Let's say if you're Office 2007, you can deploy telemetry today
mm-hmm.
and start getting information back on what issues might be out there that you don't hear about, because maybe people just don't want to call it in.
Okay.
And you'll know what they are before you bring 365 Pro Plus in your environment. And then when you bring that in,
mm-hmm.
you'll get a kind of under the covers view of what's happening with plugins and people's files.
And telemetry is basically just gives you the monitoring access to the Office suite, and you
yeah.
can look at the health and health of the applications and the plugins and all the
right.
user bases there.
And there's a full hour of this
yeah.
at Ignite 2015. We have a link
Excellent.
At the end, so you
Excellent.
Can take a look at that.
Okay, all right. I like the title. Maybe we were born to run. All right. So again, it's a streaming installation. So basically, you can download this entire software and then use your distribution to let the user use it and get installed. Another way of just click to run, one click, and you can download it from the cloud, and it'll be ready in a few minutes, literally in a few minutes, and we'll demonstrate that. Again, I mentioned use it online, offline, both modes are available. Works with all existing Office add-ins, customization, macros, you name it. Background updates are very unobtrusive. There is no user experience where something break they have to install. They have to close the application. Nothing will be lost during the update. Pretty much that. Support for upgrade testing, push deployment is always there. So again, business as usual for you guys.
Right.
The way you're doing the deployment for Office is pretty much same, but the way you're getting the software is totally different, and the benefits are numerous.
Lots of control, it sounds
lots
like.
Lots of control.
So we're going to show that in a little bit.
Yeah, so let's, picture is worth a bunch of words. I like this. I think you put it.
I think that's really good English.
Absolutely.
But let's keep
absolutely
moving.
All right. So here's your Office 365 portal. And there's your environment, and there's an Active Directory right there. So the first thing you, and there's an Azure Active Directory in the cloud as well. So the first thing you're going to do is move your identities from the Active Directory, local Active Directory, to the Azure Active Directory. There are two ways to do it. You can have a dir sync and an ADFS for single sign-on, or the better choice is using the Azure AD Connect. Can you explain that just quickly? What is
Sure.
Azure AD Connect?
Azure AD Connect takes all the work that you had to do before with dir sync and ADFS and just puts it into a nice wizard where you need the credentials for Office 365 and your on-prem AD, and you need a certificate.
Awesome.
And essentially you can run through and say, just deploy this the way, based on our scenario, it could be single domain, multiple forest, whatever you got in there.
And I like that.
The goal is to make it super simple.
I like that. So the next thing is we have a network of content delivery networks, CDNs. So they keep the loads, the builds in their environment, and your job will be getting the builds from their networks onto your environment. But here's a volume license site, and that's a big no there. Please don't. When you take the path of Pro Plus, never go back to the volume license.
And again, we mentioned that earlier, we've had customers who wanted Pro Plus, and just after 15 years of Office deployment, they said, let's go to the VL site, volume license site, get the MSI media, and start doing what we know really well. That, you should really put a brake on before you start doing that again, and confirm with as many people as you possible which one you should be sending out.
Okay, excellent. So here's a picture. We just downloaded all the contents, all the loads, builds, onto the local resource here. Now the next scenario is where a user, the next scenario is taking that load and put in the distribution software and make it available for all the users. Simple as that. I think you guys are already familiar with that, with this path. So one of the other benefits is that of Office Pro Plus, as we mentioned earlier, is that you're at home and you need the copy of the Office for your business work. So what you can do, and you're on your personal PC, so what you can do is you can just go to the portal. Again, the OLS, the Office Licensing Service, will check your subscription, and you can download the Office Suite in literally in few minutes, and you're ready to go. All right, so let's see in action. I'm a user, and I need the Office Pass, which is the scenario I just explained.
Let's talk about it. Mike, if you can switch over to my screen. What we're going to basically show is this is the Office 365 portal. Maybe I'm on a home PC, or maybe I'm in an organization, say, hey, just go install it. Mm-hmm. We wind up at this portal. So you can see here, this is kind of a screenshot, but live of what we saw earlier, all the pieces of Office. I can pick what languages I want. Okay. If I want 64-bit, I can go here. Otherwise, I can click install. It will download the initial install piece.
Okay.
And I do need admin rights to pull this off, as you'll see. So, work with that inside your org if they have admin rights or not.
Okay.
And once that's done, in the background, you'll see in a few seconds it starts kicking off the install, and this is that streaming part.
Streaming part, right.
Starts bringing down Office as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And it's everything. It's the latest build we had with all the hot fixes and all the features up to date. There's no additional work you have to do.
Awesome. And one thing I want to mention here, that soon as you get to the, and this is my personal experience, but soon as you get to 25-30% of download, your application are readily available for your use. The basic features are available in those application, while the rest of the code is getting downloaded in the background. So it gives you that availability, that feature that you can just open the Excel, open the sheet and Excel sheet and start working on it. So that, which is totally different experience, what we had in the MSI
completely different deal. So we'll come back to this in a little bit. We're going to move on and get into some more of the things under what happens under the covers to deploy it in enterprise.
Again, this picture talks about the same, that there are two ways to get your Office 365 directly from Office 365 portal, or you can have on-premise location. So you get the bits on-premise, and you just stream it to your users. So again, both of these scenarios use click-to-run. In the MSI world, you guys are already familiar with that. So group policies were there, configuration XML, office customization tools. So that's the traditional way of dealing with MSI-based installation. In the new world, in the new brave world, is click to run. You have two things: group policies and configuration XML. So you're gonna, and Todd will show how to manipulate the configuration XML. But on top of it, all you need is a Office desktop tool, right?
And we'll call it when we see it.
Okay. All right. So the next is, I'm an IT pro and need to provide Office 365 Plus to users. So Todd will walk you through that scenario in action.
All right. So with the next set, if you bring up the Office deployment tool, that's the tool that's going to drive all the things we need to do to deploy it in enterprise, regardless of what tools you're using or how you want to do it. So Mike, if you can switch over to my screen, we're going to give you some exciting things you haven't seen in a while. We're going to give you the green screen, and you can pick any text color you want on your side.
If you haven't seen Mike, that's Mike.
There you go. Yeah, we're just talking to that guy right there. So what do we have here in this directory? We have the setup tool, which is a setup exe, and a several XML files that we'll go through. So to walk through this, doing it this way so you can actually do this in your own environment, go out on your favorite search engine. It could be Bing. Search for Office Deployment Tool or Ask Jeeves. Oh, we see a lot of customers using
it.
It's going way up in the market share. So, you know, we gotta talk to the quick movers there. And essentially what this tool does, it's a Meg download. It does three things. And let's look at them. The first one is the download, which is right here. So if I run through this as a setup download, and I'll give it one of the XML files. We'll walk through the XML file in a minute. Essentially, goes out to the internet. We looked at the content delivery network you looked at. Yep. It downloads it to this folder structure right where I'm in, and then I have it on-prem, and I can start working with it and deploy it and send it out. Yep. So it's really easy. If you look at this tool, and we'll look in the XML file in a minute. There's no credentials or anything. Mm-hmm. So you can do this right now. You don't need a subscription. Mm-hmm. Get started right away. Awesome. In the meantime, I want to kick off an install. So that's the, just to, let me cover this. That's the configure option, which is the second option, and we'll kick that off right now. And we'll pick one of the XML files, and we'll look at that as well. What reason I want to kick this off, it does take a few minutes to run, and we'll make a few comments here as we go through it. One is, it's kicking off the install just like we saw before. I have all the visualizations turned on, so you're going to see everything that could happen. You could turn them all off, but the goal here is to kind of show you what's happening behind the covers. As Tariq said, once it gets to a certain point, like a little over 25%, the applications are actually available, and if I pick Excel, it will start running through that and making that available. Awesome. So while that's running in the back, let me actually show you what was in the XML files that we were referencing. First, we'll look at the download, because you have to actually get these things in your environment first. So let's walk through this, and I'll highlight each line as we go through. The first line is saying what edition, so 32-bit or 64-bit. Mm-hmm. Always say, go with what you have now for compatibility reasons. If you're one of those people that were using 64-bit, go with 64, because you understand the compatibility implications if you're running that, and you also understand what else you need. The other option that we have, and we'll come back in a second, under there is the version. So we want retail version. And we'll have to drop out of here for a second. If you want the retail version, Mike, you might want to go back to slides for a second. All right.
Okay.
If you go to retail.
Right.
All right. Lost Wi-Fi. Okay. It's coming back up. Here we go. We'll be right back. Good news is it's installing in the background as all this is happening.
And this shows this is real, by the way.
Yeah, this is all.
We're on the real network.
The click-through demo is not happening right now, as you can tell.
Okay.
All right. So let's get the credentials going. All right, get this back in.
So while he's doing it, if you're looking at my slide, the Office Deployment Toolkit, the click-to-run tool is publicly available. You can go to you can search it and download it. And the config XML file is basically used for putting the different languages or putting some exclusion from the application, like in case if you don't want publisher, for instance, you can exclude that from your installation. Same thing if you want to add certain features. For example, Visio and Microsoft Project is not part of Office Suite. You have to pay extra and get a different subscription. So same thing, same application, same configuration XML will be used for its installation, and you can use that.
All right, so I'm back. I don't know if you can see my screen, Mike. If it's shown there, great. So a few things since I'm back. The install is still happening. It's not 100% yet, but I can start Excel. Mm-hmm. That's going to start up. This version of Office requires you to sign in. That's how you activate it. Back to the, you get five PCs, five tablets.
Okay.
And I'm in an environment, if you have auto sign in with eight Active Directory Federation services, it's going to sign you in automatically. Here are my recently used files. Mm-hmm. And I can, and it, I feel like I'm in an environment I've worked in before, even though this is brand new for me.
Right.
All right, so let's go. So that's that. Let's finish off the download, and then we'll continue on. Here is where we mentioned you're going to use retail media. Why is that? You're pulling down from the cloud. Everyone on the planet can do it. Even if you go to a store and buy a box version of this, you're pulling down from the cloud. You actually go home and download it.
Okay.
Everyone uses retail. It's all about your identity and activating it. Okay. And then second to last is language. So how many language packs do you need? You get all the language packs from the cloud. You don't need any special rights. Everyone could download every language if they like.
Okay.
Very different than before. So that's the download piece.
Okay.
When you're done with the download, we'll take a look here. Whatever folder you downloaded it into, it creates an Office folder, then a data folder. Mm-hmm. It creates two files. One is, hey, this is a 32-bit build. Mm-hmm. If there was a 64, there'd be a V64.
Sure.
And then for the 32-bit build, what's the version of the build, which is very specific to what patches are in it, what capabilities are in it. And we have a site that lists all the builds, and it's at the end of the deck.
Okay.
When you actually look at the build, just to show you, this is very different than MSI. There's only a small set of files in here. Mm-hmm. One of them is about 900 megs, which basically has all of Office, and the other is the language packs. Okay. The rest are just supporting.
Okay.
So that's it. Every month we release a new build, you get all of this.
Nice.
And you'll get a new build and keep just building up the folder structure there and pushing those out. So we just did an install. Let's take a look at what that looks like. It's actually very similar. Guess what? There's the configuration of the part. A little different? We have, where are we going to pull this build from? So we run setup.exe/configure, put the XML file. I'm going to pull it from a local source, normally be a file share. If you don't put anything there, it looks locally at the folder. If there's nothing there, it pulls from the cloud. Mm-hmm. So again, then we're looking at 32-bit, so that's fine. We understand that. Pro plus retail, we got that. English, we have that. If you do want another language, all you need to do is, if it's German, you just enter that in, and that will make it a second language that's available. You can just keep the list going.
Okay.
If you're one of those crazy people who don't want access, there's like five people on the planet, but I'll talk to you right now personally. If you don't want access on your machine, you put exclude app, and it won't be there. And that's the way you do it. You don't go to add remove programs. Okay. You don't go to some setup. Okay. If you say, oh, we made a mistake, you just go and delete the line, rerun setup. It just changes and puts the pieces back to put access back. You don't go through a whole reinstall.
Okay. Good
and
point.
Then we're going to talk about updates. So before we get to this section, let's actually do something live here. And let me give you my little copy and paste section. So there's a few ways to do updates. And what I'm going to do is run this command in a second. Just want to get it set up. There's a few ways to do updates with Office. One of the ways basically says you control every step of the path. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to show right now.
Okay.
So I'm inside a new Excel document, never saved it. And if I'm doing some good calculations here, and I'm in the middle of work, oh, see, 1 + 1 = 0. There you go. We're in some sort of math wonderland. Let's see if we can get the, oh, there you go.
There
okay,
you go.
Good. Even the simple things are fun. So I keep working, keep doing things, but I need to get this system to a different version. How do I do that? Well, one of the ways is IT can completely control the experience. And let me just kick off the command, and then we'll take a look at it. So what we can do is run a command to go to a certain build. And what this command does, it's called Office click to run client. Okay. And that click to run client upgrades or downgrades you from whatever version you're at. Let's say you went to a new version. Mm-hmm. Something's not right. Let's bring it back right away.
Okay.
So what we're saying here is we're going to update the user. We're going to prompt the user when the update's ready for them. When they click yes, we're going to force a shutdown of their applications.
Okay.
You could make it no and let it be a little different. The display level, of course, is everything on the planet, and we're going to take it to this different build than we're on.
Okay.
So what's happening right now in the background, if I jump back here, It's actually looking at the location where I said the next build, where updates come from.
Okay.
So that's from the XML file. It's checking what are all the differences are, and when it calculates that, it's going to prompt me and say, hey, I'm ready to downgrade or upgrade this system, whatever we need to do. And then the end users gets prompted.
In the download, in the upgrade process, do we get the new build 100% or we just get the deltas?
We just get the deltas.
Okay.
So that's why, I mean, just went that through a awesome. Gig and just found out what the deltas are. Okay. Here, I'm going to say, yeah, the end user, okay, let's do this. It shuts down the programs. Hey, I didn't hit save though.
Wow, yeah, I noticed that.
That's not good, but it is good because we let the users know that we always take care of their data. And as it shuts down the programs, it's saving the state of the data of the applications, and it's also saving the locations of where they were at. So for some reason, let's just help this along. Help this along here. Thank you. It's all real. We're all real here. All right. And as it's waiting, there it goes. Sorry, I just
updates. And
I wanted to keep this moving along, so didn't want to wait. I'm one of those people that can't wait. So now it's actually doing the updates in the background, which is nice. And at that point, the end user is going to wait a little bit, and then all the applications are going to open up.
Awesome.
So say if you have Outlook and you have 10 windows open with all the emails you want to read and get through, it's going to open them all up, put them right back where they were.
That's nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So this is one way to do it. There's about two other ways that it can be done. Mm-hmm. And while we're waiting for this, we'll kind of talk about the other way. The other way is, what's different here again? There's actually a service. So there's two Office Click to Run executables. One is what's running now. The other is a system service that's running. So if I go to services, and look here, there's actually a service that's always running. That service acts off what was in the XML file. So if I said updates equals true, then that service is going to do things for me. And in this case, we didn't use that service, we used the click to run executable. And what that executable just did is completed the update, it brought back my file, you can see that it's auto-saved, and I can get back to work. And here's another one of the prompts that you could disable, but it walks me through and says, hey, here's some more things that are new about Office, which is great. So that's the example that I use there using this Office click to run example. All right?
Okay.
The second way, which just to show this again in the XML file on the updates, is if I set updates equals true in that original XML file that that did the install, what that means is that Office service is going to keep checking a location to see if there's a new build.
Oh, okay.
Which is different than what I just showed. So we're on item number two here.
So it's auto-checking.
It's auto-checking, and it's going to check the location. Here I put it on a local location. You would give it a file share probably.
Right.
If you don't give it anything, it looks up to the internet essentially.
Okay.
And then the last piece I want to bring in here, and then we'll kind of recap what all the update options are, is around share computer licensing. So what this does is, if you have scenarios where, hey, I got the five PCs, five tablets, five phones, but I walk up to a bunch of kiosks that are shared by several people, or I'm in a VDI environment that every day they build the sessions and then they rip them down, what's going to happen? You're going to run out of your five really quick, okay? Yeah. So what we do in those specific scenarios, like a shared kiosk, we turn on shared computer licensing. It turns on a key in the registry. And then when you use Office on that workstation, it doesn't count against your five.
I see.
It really gives you a lot of flexibility in what you can do in the environment.
Okay.
All right. So we showed updates. We showed an install. Let's go back to the content.
Okay.
We'll switch over to Tariq, and we'll kind of summarize all the pieces around updates.
Okay.
Basically build on what we showed. All right, so as we're talking about updates, just to recap, what problems are we trying to solve with Office 365 Pro Plus? One is, the MSI was great and served us well, but it didn't have any slipstream builds outside of service packs, which meant Service Pack 1 came out, and months later, we're still installing all these updates that you see on the left-hand side of the screen. And those have to be installed serially, which takes a long time, and there's actually multiple, there's redundant updates in there. So we don't know if you're gonna install all the updates.
Sure.
So if there might be the same patch across multiple patches here.
Right.
Because we don't know what's there.
Right.
So that's, as of a few months ago, that was 1.2 gigs.
Sure, yeah, that's
after you install Office, that's 1.2 gigs if you installed it all, which is way too much. So
yep.
So how do we solve this? instead of having all these pieces to put together, every month we release a new build, we pull it, put it on the content delivery network, you download it, we figured out the delta, and you install it. It makes it super simple. You're always one build away from being on the latest build.
Awesome.
And usually that could be an average around 100 megs. It could be less, it could be more depending on what's there.
Okay.
We saw background updating, we already seen that. We saw it with the foreground graphics, you can make it so it's all in the background, you don't see anything. It's gonna go out and check for those builds and bring them down.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, IT controls all of this change. You can run the command line that I did, or you can tell Office, you go out and look, and you bring back the change, and you install it based on a time frame that we could define as well. So that's a second option that we have there.
Okay.
And either way, you have control.
Okay.
So what are those triggers that we went through? We showed them, but here's kind of the summary. One is on a scheduled task. So that's the one I keep talking about, that Office service in the background.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
actually runs on a scheduled task.
Okay.
Here is, if you can jump on that and then zoom in one more, and then zoom in one more, it's the top one, the Office automatic updates.
Yeah.
Based on when you log in and those other dates that are listed, it will run a command line and say, hey, is there a new build for me? Is there a new build for me?
I like the choice of color, by the way.
And the hot fuchsia is great for summer. So hopefully you're not living in Alaska right now. All right, and then how does that work? Again, it looks for the binary delta. What's important is there's a few things. I kind of showed the extreme example where you're running an app, you force shut it down, it all comes back. But it's really neat to see because it's an option.
Absolutely.
It's kind of the worst case option.
And you can suppress some of those messages that are showing up. So you can
absolutely. But that worst case option is actually really good because it does a lot. The ideal option is every once in a while we ship a Windows update and a patch, okay?
Yep.
If that's the case, what happens is on Patch Tuesday we ship that Windows update.
Mm-hmm.
We're also shipping out the Office updates.
Okay.
You're going to reboot anyway. So if you reboot on that Windows update, if the Office update's already brought down in the background, the end user just gets it and they never experience
use
any.
Use the same window of update.
Right, same window of update. Yeah. And who does it? That service does it in the background. If they don't do that, they might get a prompt like you see at the bottom there that says update now, and then that walks them again through the choices that they have.
Okay.
So that's kind of if you have updates equal true on in that XML file.
Got it.
And also you can change that on the fly. We'll talk about that in a second. The second option is called user initiated. That means they just go into Office, they go to the file, they go to options, and they say update now.
Yeah.
It's great. I really think it's for people that like to click buttons, which is great. We gave you something to do. But all that's doing is forcing the check right away. Otherwise, you just log in and out and it would do it as well, or it would check on that schedule. It does require admin rights as well, which in some companies that's not going to work. So you can disable that.
Right.
The final one is the first one we showed. So we start where we, you know, we end up where we began. What a great
and
that's poem.
XZ file runs on every single PC, right?
Yeah, so when you deploy Office, that lands there.
Okay.
And Office uses that under the covers, or you can use it and say, look, I'm going to control this 100% and not let Office do anything, even though you're controlling what Office does.
Awesome.
So to talk to that piece again, it's the Office click to run client.
Yep.
And then here is the screenshot that shows what I showed in there. So if you want to take a look at that, that's the exact screenshot of the command I ran, and you can take it from there and customize it if you like.
Okay.
The final thing I just want to mention is we have a lot of customers say, look, this is great. It actually sees an opportunity to take some work off my IT team's plate here.
Mm-hmm.
I can deploy Office, let's say with Config Manager, and then I can tell Office to update itself just based on a share being updated. That's super simple. Anyone can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, we look at the bottom. If you look at the bottom where it says updates enabled equals true, and there's an update path, there's the target version. So that will only accept that target version and the deadline that's there as well.
Sure.
That says when to happen. So that capability is in Config Manager. We actually put that in Office.
Nice.
Some customers don't have Config Manager, or some customers say we want to keep lessen that the Config Manager admins work.
Mm-hmm.
However you want to look at it, you have options and you can pick whatever you want to do here. Let Office update itself or you can control it.
I like that.
So again, I mentioned, look at the registry keys. Just everything that's in that XML file lands in a registry key. If you have tools to update registry keys, you can update the process any way you'd like. You don't have to keep using the XML file.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Okay.
And then finally, a few of our customers have people that actually work out of the office, and even some other ones even travel. What an amazing thought, right?
Right.
So in this case, let's talk about a person that works in Berlin and is going to go to Seattle.
Right.
They're going to be three places at least. They're going to be at the Berlin office. They're going to be outside the Berlin office at home, at the airport, and then they're going to be in Seattle and be and could be outside of Seattle. So what we want to do is use the right source depending where they're at. So in this case, if they're outside the office, maybe they're at home, we're going to pick the cloud source. And how we're going to do that, we're going to look at your Active Directory site.
Okay.
And if there's no Active Directory site inside of, we're using group policy preferences here, then we'll just pull from the internet.
Okay.
But what if you're in Berlin?
Yep.
We need to pull from the Europe site. So based on if you're an Active Directory site,
there it is.
Active Directory group policy preferences. We'll see that, and we'll pull from Europe.
Okay.
And here, if you go to the dig in and just highlight the site at the bottom, we're using that attribute. You could use IP range, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Now, if you go to Seattle, it's what do we want to do? Pull from Seattle. So what we're going to do is give the Seattle file UNC path.
UNC path.
And there you go. And then we'll just compare the two here, and you get the different path. It's super simple. This is another way to do it. You don't have to do it this way. You could use DFS if you'd like, or you could just pull from the cloud. We do have some customers that have salespeople that are never in the office. In that case, we just tell them to pull from the cloud, and we keep them up to date. And
we actually
define the exact version they can go at. So they're not just picking the latest version. They're picking the version IT wants them to have.
Of course.
So how does this look with Configuration Manager?
Very good question.
The answer is it looks great, and there's an hour of it looking great in the Ignite 2015 session. If we have more time here, we do it, but that's worth a session in its own.
And we're going to give them the URL to go there.
URL's at the end, so grab the deck at the end,
Fantastic.
And we'll take a look at it.
Fantastic.
So just to take a step back here,
if you
deployed Office and two things. If you have Office Pro Plus, you have rights to Office on iOS and Android, phone, tablet, whatever else form factor comes out, we'll figure it out. So if it's on an iOS and Android tablet, we also want to protect the data on those form factors as well. So how do we do that?
Sure.
So the way to do it is use something called Microsoft Intune.
Okay.
And Microsoft Intune sets policies on those devices. It's kind of like group policies for applications, right? But it's for iOS and Android, so it's awesome. And it also will be for Windows 10 when that ships.
Okay.
And that will be another session.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? In this scenario, we have an iPad. It's red because it's not managed by Intune. Now it's green because it was managed by Intune. Now it is managed by Intune.
Yep.
This person tried to get their corporate email, and they enrolled it, so now they're enrolled. So now all the policies come down. The policies say, if you try to share data, it must be shared within those managed applications at the top. If I try to share it with my personal apps at the bottom, we can't do that. So we're gonna do that, but we're gonna keep you inside the applications that you love.
Okay.
And then so if you want to share it to OneDrive for Business, great. That's gonna work great, and we'll let that happen because that's corporate data in a corporate data store.
Okay.
If you try to copy paste between corporate applications, it works great. If you try to copy and paste to non-corporate apps, we're gonna block you.
Sure.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. It works easily. And that's, again, worth a whole other session. So stay tuned for more webcasts here from MTC Studios.
And lastly,
Sarah says, hey, this has all been great. You've been nice to me, but I'm retired.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull my device out of Intune.
Yeah.
And what do we do to Sarah? We just take away the corporate data. She can have everything else.
That's right.
So that's it.
Wonderful.
So to kind of summarize the key resources that we referenced here, we'll let Tariq walk through these.
Well, we got, as Todd mentioned, about the Ignite, the latest 2015 Ignite session. So this URL, we already filtered all the Pro Plus sessions. So basically, one URL will give you the list of all the Pro Plus deployment sessions, and also the Config Manager. The first one is about the Config Manager. And if you really have really bored on over the weekend and you really want to spend some quality time, you can go to the Microsoft Virtual Academy and have like 7 hours long sessions on Pro Plus. But seriously, there's tons of information. There's Pro Plus builds and the shared computer support and all of that. I think this is great resource, great URLs for all kinds of resources they're looking for.
It really is a great place to start.
Yep. All right, the next and the most my favorite thing is let's do the Q&A.
So Dean, thanks a lot. We'll hand it back to you and take some questions.
Sure, thank you.
let me stop back. Well, that was a lot of questions. And that was a lot of information. A lot of times we would spend a whole day going over the content that Tariq and Todd just covered. I saw a lot of questions coming in on all the information about bandwidth, shared computer activation, all those different sessions. We can actually drill into deeper on that. If you want to get more information, please reach out to the person who invited you to the session. We can set up a deeper dive session. We do have upcoming sessions. The next, if you just go to the same site, aka.ms/mtcstudio, you can go ahead and sign up for the next session. We'll also be posting a recording of this session to that same site. And also I saw questions asking for the PowerPoint. We'll also upload the PowerPoint to that site as well. The next session we have coming up is on June 26th. It's about Azure Site Recovery. A lot of our customers are interested in how maybe they can use the cloud to back up their data center. So Azure Site Recovery offers that capability to allow you to back up your on-premises data center to the cloud. And also you can use Azure Site Recovery to do a data center to data center failover. So if you have two data centers, you can use Azure Site Recovery as the mechanism to kind of replicate that data to the second DR data center. But with that, let's go ahead and jump into the live Q&A. I want to bring back Todd and Tariq. Hey guys, how you guys doing? Maybe we can adjust the camera there. There was a lot of questions coming in. Maybe you want to comment on any of those questions that came in, and maybe just we can start from there. Any of the ones that came in that were kind of top of mind for you that?
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, hopefully you guys enjoyed the session there. So Todd, I have a question. What if I already have a 2013 MSI installed in my environment? What do I do with that?
Right, so the good news is if you have 2013 mm-hmm. installed as an MSI, actually if you remove it and then install Pro Plus, all the settings are kept there, and let's say the Outlook, all the Outlook files, PSD, OSTs are left there, and so it's fairly easy to remove Office, mm-hmm. and to get Pro Plus on is very quick. Okay. It's easy to turn it around for someone very quickly to get them on Pro Plus and get the benefits of multiple computers and all the other benefits that we talked about.
Awesome.
It's a great question.
So you also mentioned something about the shared environment. So what do I do in my test environment if I want to test out the Pro Plus? What's the best strategy there?
So great question. So, you know, we covered a lot today, as Dean said. My recommendation for you is to download the Office deployment tool and actually start running through some of the examples that we showed in the video. And if we went too fast, hit pause a lot, and you can look at all the details in the video, which would be great. The reason is you don't need an Office 365 subscription or any licensing to do testing in that environment, because the only time licensing comes into play is when you want to use Office for more than 5 days on that machine. So as an IT person, start playing with it now, because that's where all the real big investment and changes that we're going to make in Office are going to go first.
Amazing. You also mentioned about the config manager. What if I don't have a config manager?
Right. So if you have a third-party tool like Altiris or something else, all the things we did on that wonderful green screen on the command line can be done in those other tools. If you don't have any of those tools, take a look at Intune, because it's cloud-based, very easy to get software distributed to people, whether they're in your corporate network or on the internet, any size environment. And then there's also a free tool called the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, which has some uses as well for deploying this in your environment.
Okay, great. So that's wonderful that I installed Pro Plus in my environment, but I also read somewhere that there is some activation required. I need to go on the internet to get it activated.
Yeah.
So what's the story behind that?
Yeah, so the activation part of it, there's two parts. There's the install, like Tariq said, which is just getting Office installed locally. Mm-hmm. And then there's actually, hey, this is activated, which really means I've logged in with my identity, my corporate email address essentially is what it practically is, in password. Mm-hmm. And then it reaches out over the internet and basically registers my machine that, hey, I have one of my five activations is now taken. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And it does that once every 30 days. It needs to do that to stay active. If you have systems that are never ever allowed to connect to the internet, there's two versions of that. One is they only allowed to go through a proxy network, and on basically a white list of sites you can get to, then that's fine. We have a list of all the URLs and IP addresses that will allow that. And that only allows Office to activate itself. It doesn't allow you to get to Office 365 and put data up in the environment. Okay. So you're still safe. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is, no, we actually can't get to any other network. We're not allowed to get to anything, whether it's proxied or whitelisted. In that case, then you need to say, let's stay for those systems, let's stay with the traditional MSI install, because that does not require any internet access at any point. But I would really emphasize only use MSI in that scenario and use Pro Plus for all the other systems, because again, you'll get all those other benefits.
Okay. And I've seen a question online about the, you know, more than 5 devices activation. What do we do with that?
Right.
Is there more input that you want to give us?
Yeah, so that question was asked in a few different ways. So that's okay. A great question. First few things, you know, again, there's 5 active systems that you can have. So we have 3 systems in front of us here. If we had 2 more and they're all mine, I can be using Office on them actively as I'm working with them. When I bring up that 6th system, I'm going to get a pop-up at the bottom right hand of the corner and say, hey, you've reached your limit. Yeah. Just click here and we'll take you up to the site and we'll actually ask you to remove one of those systems from the activation list. What that is not doing is uninstalling Office from any of those systems.
Okay.
If I deactivate, let's see, the system right here that I have, you may not be able to see. When I go log into it, when I bring it up again, it's just going to ask me to log in. And if I'm in a corporate environment with Federation services, it won't even ask for that. And I'll be able to just use it.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the feel of how it works. What we try to do is make sure no one ever hits that 5 limit.
Sure.
And where we do that is use that shared computer scenario in if it's truly a shared computer,
yeah,
or if it's a VDI or kind of a Citrix scenario.
Yeah.
That's what the shared computer is invented for, so we never take up those licenses. But there are instances where you might hit it.
Okay.
And you know, again, work with your Microsoft account team, and they can help you even more detail on how to work with those scenarios.
Excellent.
Yeah. Now, Tariq, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know a little bit about unified communication.
A little bit.
I noticed in Office Pro Plus, when, you know, a few months ago, it used to be Link when I deployed it.
Yeah.
Now it says Skype for Business. And I'm excited about that, but I have to keep Link out there for now. How do I keep Link out there versus
very,
Skype for Business?
Very
and,
good question.
And then switch it over.
Okay, very good question. So Skype for Business is, we just rebranded it from Link environment, so formerly called Link 2013,
yeah,
with the previous release, and now it's Skype for Business. So it's, under the hood, it's the same communication software.
Okay.
You know, enterprise-grade security and compliance is built into it, and we rebranded to Skype for Business. It's been used for instant messaging, presence, audio, video calls, collaboration, content sharing, full enterprise communication suite built into it. So behind the scene, if we also turned the Link online service into Skype for Business service.
Okay.
So you can log into your Link servers or Link online service or the Skype for Business service using that client.
Okay.
But it's we rebranded about a month ago, so we rebranded to Skype for Business.
Okay. So there's 2 options. One is I can just push out Skype for Business and not change anything on the back end.
Absolutely.
If I wanted to keep the Link client out, the Link user interface, I can do that.
You have both choices available.
Yeah.
So, but we highly recommend to use the new user interface.
Yeah,
the Skype for Business client. Yep.
All right.
Dean, do we have time? Or
hey, Todd and Tariq, there's a question that came in. Are there features in Office 365 that aren't in Office 2013?
So today there aren't, but going ahead with when 2016 ships, so Office 2016 is going to ship in several months. I don't have the exact date. There's 2 parts of Office 2016. One is it's a marketing effort to let you know there's kind of new capabilities that will be out there. But we're still going to have the same version that we're called today, the Office 365 Pro Plus. It's still called the same thing. You do all the same things to get it out there. But when we actually release Office 2016, there'll be some new capabilities in there. The one thing, there's 2 things to say about that. One is, what we have seen around some data protection capabilities is there's some interest in getting those to corporations as fast as possible, and those may land first in the Pro Plus version. And we can't guarantee. I'd say you have to reach out to your Office contacts at Microsoft to confirm if that will or will not ship in the traditional MSI version. You know, generally, we want to provide a great experience across all platforms. So that's Windows, iOS, Android, Mac. And there are some subtle differences between those versions. So I don't want to say here that it's 100% the same. The second part I want to say is we often release things first to the Pro Plus SKU.
Yeah.
And the reason is that we have a mechanism to do that faster. A lot of customers that use MSI, again, often just pick the security updates. And so that really stops the kind of the new updates from flowing. So the bottom line there is you can get updates faster. And the example in there is when we pushed out Service Pack 1 for Office 2013, that was that brought both Office 2013 and Office Pro Plus kind of back up to a similar level. But a lot of those updates and implementations and capabilities were already in Pro Plus, and those customers had them first. So I think that's the pattern going forward.
I think there was a neat scenario that Mike told me about. We had a customer that had, in side-by-side in the same meeting with OneNote, one was an MSI person and one was a click-to-run person. Can you explain that and what were the benefits there? What was the situation there? I thought that was an interesting story related.
I think the story was with OneDrive.
Yeah, so you know what? So this customer, imagine Tariq and I are the customer. Let's say Tariq is wearing a black shirt and running MSI, which is not a good thing to do, right?
Okay.
And I'm wearing a nice colored shirt that makes everyone happy, and I'm running Pro Plus. So I'm enjoying OneDrive for Business. It's syncing well. It's just doing everything you expect it to do. Tariq is gloom and doom. It's not working well for him. And the issue was he was running the MSI version, and he didn't have all the updates. And, IT was just pushing out security updates, so all the fixes that went into OneDrive for Business, he wasn't getting. And he was having a horrible experience. So we immediately recommend to the core IT team that oversees Office and deploys it that you should make sure you're getting the builds as quickly as possible from the cloud. So at the minimum, your team is having a great experience, and then you can duplicate that experience out to the rest of the business. And the way to do that is use Pro Plus.
Yeah.
So thanks, Dean. That was a great example.
That was an interesting example because, we do have the same capabilities on the click-to-run and the MSI, but that's only if the MSI has all the latest patches, which a lot of our enterprise customers aren't applying all the latest patches. And in this case, that experience would be vastly different. Right.
And then one last point on that is if you run into some issue and you're still using the MSI version, when you call Premier Support, they're pretty much going to tell you, you got to install all the updates. So, luckily most customers don't run into those problems, but when you're using Pro Plus, everyone on the planet is running the same exact build with all the patches and the features. It makes it a little easier to run through and test things. And if before we release those builds, there's many customers that have, kind of pre-release access to them, and they use them as well, but we're all in the same build on the planet. And if you're using MSI, everyone's running a little different build, it seems. And that could create some other issues.
I also want to mention about the Outlook client, which is part of the process deployment. So once you install that, you can reuse your OST and PST file just as you've been doing before. So nothing's changed from that perspective.
Right. So you're not going to download another 50 gigs of data if you move over to Pro Plus.
Absolutely.
That's that's the beauty of it.
Yep. There's another question that came in is if the user activates Office 365 on their machine, is it activated for all users on that machine or just for that one user?
That's a great question because at the heart of everything we're doing with Pro Plus, it's all about your identity. It's not, so if I log in, it's going to activate it just for my identity. So it's going to take one away from my five. I log out, Tariq comes in, it's going to take one away from his five. So great question there. So, but if that is a commonly shared workstation, let's make it a shared workstation. Yeah. It still will go against my identity, but it's not going to subtract one from my five, and so I'll be in good shape.
Yeah. So that's a good point. If you have a shared machine, like a VDI scenario, like Todd mentioned, you basically log it in as you set that registry key to set it as a shared computer activation. It doesn't take away from either person's count. But it'll check when that user logs in if they have a valid account activation.
Right.
Correct.
Let's check what else you got. Is there a group policy for Office 365 over Office 2013 to control some of these activation controls?
So the good news is it's the same group policies for both of them. I haven't seen any group policies around activation, because really, if there's a service that we talk to when we did the install that gets installed on your box, Office installs that. That is the piece that goes out and communicates back to the Office licensing service. Yeah. And there's really nothing for you to manage, to control. There's no keys. There's nothing. There's just your identity. Right. But other than that, all the group policies are the same that are out there. And if you just search for Office either 2013 group policies, you'll get that download.
Well, it looks like we're out of time, but I wanted to thank everyone for joining this week's session. Again, if you want to get the presentation, a lot of questions came about the presentation. We'll be posting the recording and the presentation in a couple of days to the same site that you used to register. I wanted to thank Todd and Tariq for joining us today. And I also wanted to thank all of the attendees for joining. Hope you guys learned a lot. We covered a lot of information in a whirlwind amount of time. We just had a big conference called Microsoft Ignite in Chicago in May. A lot of the content is there as well, and we go into each area in a 75-minute session, so less of a frenetic pace. But today, we just wanted to give everybody an overview. Again, with that, we wanted to thank you for attending, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And we're going to switch up. Thanks, all.
All right.